Good morning. I'm Susan Drummond, the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today, for the record, is Thursday morning, November 29th, 2018, approximately 9 a.m. We have just one item on the agenda. This is a request from the Kitsap County Department of Community Development for a revocation of a conditional use permit for the Edgewater House, which is a wedding venue. Cause number, case number 14-00208. Just briefly before I outline how we'll approach this procedurally, if the parties could introduce themselves.
For the record, my name is Jim Bolger. I'm the Assistant Director for Department of Community Development.
David Lynam, I'm the Fire Marshal and Manager of the Building and Fire Safety Division.
I'm Scott Diener. I manage the Development Services and Engineering Division for DCD.
Josiah Kibberberg, representative for the Edgewater House.
Okay, thank you. So we'll start with a few procedural items. I do have a staff report which I've reviewed, as well as a number of exhibits. The numbering changed a bit, but it looks like the exhibits are numbered 1 through 10. Are there any objections from the parties? In particular, I'm asking you, Mr. Kipperberg, to admitting these. And I realize you may have dispute what's in the documents substantively, but in terms of having them entered into the record, do you wish to lodge an objection against those?
Not at this time. I do have some objections.
Okay.
Other than that, everything that's been in to the actual presented to you, no, I don't.
Okay. We'll go ahead and admit those, but of course, with the understanding that the parties may dispute the facts within those or characterize the facts differently.
So, okay.
Okay. I did conduct a site visit on Sunday morning that was consistent with the pre-hearing order. Took about, I think, 15, 20 minutes. Mr. Kipperberg was there and a neighbor, who I don't have his name, but I recognize him in the back. And I viewed the main areas of contention, which were the main residence, downstairs and upstairs, and then the improved spaces that are above the garage. Mr. Kipperberg had a couple procedural questions about the hearing, and I mentioned that the staff report had been issued, and he had gotten a copy of that. And he had a question about responding to that, and I said that documents could be submitted to the hearing examiner clerk before the hearing or today, at today's hearing, and of course responses could be made both in written form as well as orally. In terms of procedure today, a Department of Community Development will present their case first because this is the department's request. And then there'll be an opportunity, Mr. Kipperberg, for you to respond, and then there'll be rebuttal opportunities for both parties. If either party wishes to call a witness to speak on a particular issue, they may do so. This is not the type of hearing which is open to public testimony, so people can't be called to provide testimony the way that we would in a public setting. But if either party wishes to call a witness to ask questions, they may do so today. I think that's it. The parties have any questions or anything we need to clarify before we get started? Yes.
When you were saying the applicant had or had not gotten the staff report?
He has.
He had, okay.
Yeah, he had indicated on the site visit. Okay. And you that is correct, Mr. Kipperberg. Yeah, you have the...
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. Yes, so he received that. Yes, I think that's... So, DCD, if you would, I don't know how you wanted to proceed today.
So, I'll probably just give kind of an opening statement on behalf of the department, and then I'll turn it over to Scott and to David to kind of fill in more of the details on
okay.
the department's perspective.
Okay, and I have, like I said earlier, I have reviewed the staff report and the exhibits.
Great. Again, my name is Jim Bolger. I'm the assistant director. I typically don't participate in hearing examiner proceedings, as you're aware, but the reason I'm here this morning is I really wanted to kind of emphasize and point out that this is really an unusual action requested by the department. Typically, one of the missions of our department is to promote thriving, successful businesses in the county and to facilitate economic development. And we certainly feel like we've tried to support the wedding house or the Edgewater House as a wedding venue over many months. I personally have been involved in this issue since my coming on board about 2 years ago to the county. This is really a life safety or a health safety issue as far as the department is concerned. We would love to be able to see the Edgewater House function as a safe and profitable wedding venue. I think we've made every effort in trying to accommodate that, not only under the conditions of the existing conditional use permit, the subject of today's hearing, but also we've tried to work with the permittee or the applicant in trying to accomplish what he would like to see within the venue. And so really we're at a point right now where we've had this going on for quite some time. We recognize that people who are customers of the Edgewater House probably have planning activities that go out months in terms of establishing and securing wedding venues for their parties. So we've deliberately kind of tried to place this hearing at a time where we wouldn't necessarily disrupt people's plans for their weddings. And so we hope that through the course of today, you'll recognize that we've gotten to a point where this is kind of our last action, frankly. We hope that we can resolve some of the issues in time, but at this point we feel like the revocation of the current CUP is probably the best course of action. So with that, I'll turn it over to Scott and Dave.
Okay, again, I'm Scott Diener, Manager of Development Services. And
actually, let me, neglected to swear you in, Mr. Bolger. Oh. If you could, everything that you previously stated was the truth,
yes.
Correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, anything further, any other testimony or evidence you'll provide today will be the truth.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely, yes.
Yours was more along the line of an opening statement, but there were facts in there, so to the extent sure. That's evidence, good to have you sworn in. If you could go ahead and state your name again for the record.
Scott Diener.
And you swear to tell the truth
I do.
Today. Thank you.
Thank you. So I've got a lot to say, and so I actually scripted it down, so I'm going to be reading what I have to say this morning, and then after I'll turn it over to Dave to address other issues related to life safety and building. So I'm going to speak to a brief history of what led to the 2014 CUP application approval, what conditions have been of concern and DCD believes violated, and contact subsequent to the 2014 approval, including a brief and recent permit application history. And after, if there are any questions about building permit activity, Dave Lynam, Kitsap County's Fire Marshal and the Building and Fire Safety Division Manager, will speak to building permit concerns and life safety issues. Because of the magnitude of the issues in front of us, and due to the amount of time, meetings, and other contact it has taken to gain no further compliance with the 2014 approval, DC is seeking a complete revocation of the 2014 permit approval as Kitsap County Code allows. In 2014, Edgewater applied for and was given after the fact conditional use permit, or what I'll call a CUP approval, for a limited number of annual outdoor events. The lead up to the 2014 application is discussed in greater detail in the staff report, but essentially begins with the 2012 site visit where unpermitted construction and activities were both observed and discussed. The main unpermitted construction included two ADUs, accessory dwelling units, above the three bay garage, and the unpermitted activities were wedding events where parties and attendees were using both the ADUs and home for assembly. The 2014 approval had several conditions designed to correct unpermitted construction and activity, as well as activity that was not permissible in any existing circumstance due to building and life safety codes. Key conditions that we believe are in violation include condition one, which reads, all required permits shall be obtained prior to hosting any additional wedding events. DCD notes this condition is meant to be a catch-all and is further elaborated upon by subsequent conditions. Conditions 4 and 27 read, first condition 4, the applicant shall provide to DCD a list of planned events each season. Condition 27 reads, the conditional use shall be limited to 25 wedding or similar events a year without written approval of the DCD director. Wedding or similar events in excess of 25 shall not take place without written approval of the DCD director. DCD notes it was provided its first list of wedding events in 2018, showing 25 events. The calendar shows dates. The calendar shows dates when events are scheduled and dates when no events were scheduled. On August 25th, 2018, when no wedding was scheduled, DCD Assistant Director Jim Bolger and myself conducted a site visit as allowed by Condition 6 of the approval, and observed an active wedding, which I'll speak more about in a moment. DCD believes that the applicant has violated Condition 27. Condition 5 reads, approval from the building official, fire marshal, and the health department shall be obtained prior to hosting events in any of the buildings. DCD observed indoor hosting and bathrooms used in the garage during the one event it attended on August 25th and believes this condition has been violated as well. Condition 7 reads, the property has an approved three-bedroom septic system that serves the three-bedroom single-family residence and is approved to serve a bathroom in the garage. The septic system is not approved for the additional use for public events. There can be no additional bedrooms or dwelling units located on the property with the existing septic system. DCD observed the bathrooms in the garage were available for event use on August 25th and believes this condition has been violated as well. Condition 8 reads, a permit for the existing unpermitted ADU and bedroom shall be obtained prior to occupation or use, where they shall be decommissioned and used only as storage. DCD notes a permit for the two stories above the garage has never been issued. A 2018 permit application was non-responsive and considered abandoned, and DCD believes this condition has been violated as well. Condition 12 reads, this conditional use permit approval shall automatically become void if no development permit application is accepted as complete by the Department of Community Development within 3 months of the notice of decision date or the resolution of any appeals. DCD notes no such permit applications were received during this time frame, and DCD believes this condition has been violated. Condition 13 reads, the decision set forth herein is based upon representations made and exhibits contained in the project application number 14-00208. Any changes or deviations in such plans, proposals, or conditions of approval imposed shall be subject to further review and approval of the county and potentially the hearing examiner. DCD notes the modification to the garage subsequent to the 2014 CUP approval and the use of the home by the wedding guests have not been applied for, reviewed, or approved by DCD or the hearing examiner, and DCD believes this condition has been violated. Excuse me. Condition 14 reads, the authorization granted herein is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws, regulations, and ordinances. Compliance with such laws, regulations, and ordinances is a condition to the approvals granted and is a continuing requirement of such approvals. By accepting this or these approvals, the applicant represents that the development and activities allowed will comply with such laws, regulations, and ordinances. If during the term of the approval granted, the development and activities permitted do not comply with such laws, regulations, or ordinances, the applicants agree to promptly bring such development or activities into compliance. This is another catch-all condition designed to emphasize compliance with approval and applicable rules and also to correct any non-compliance immediately. Despite repeated attempts by DCD at gaining compliance, all efforts have failed and DCD believes this condition has been violated. Condition 15 reads, any violation of the conditions of approval shall be grounds to initiate revocation of this conditional use permit. DCD notes that because of the aforementioned and subsequent non-activity and lack of any real progress, DCD believes revocation of the CUP is now appropriate. Condition 16 reads, approved for outdoor events only. If at any time any of the buildings are used for assembly, a fire code permit shall be applied for. Water availability, hydrants, fire flow, fire alarms, and fire sprinklers may be required. Health department approval of the septic field size shall be obtained prior to use of any of the buildings for event functions. The house is not rated, nor shall be used for public assembly or occupancy. Portable toilets and sinks for trailer toilets shall be provided during events. The single-family residence shall not be accessible for toilet or hand-washing use during events. The house and garage, DCD observes, are both being used outside of permission or approval granted by the county, and portable or trailer toilets have been observed as not available for wedding guests. DCD observed this during its August event inspection, and during a staff inspection of November 14th, Mr. Kipperberg confirmed that the residence is routinely used for wedding venues, stating that the wedding events spill over into the house and that his guests like to use the house for the events. As well, a bridal suite is used within the residence where the bride and bridesmaids change and ready themselves for the event, and according to the applicant, another area of the house that was once a den is used for grooms and groomsmen's prep area. Other areas, such as the upstairs, are used for pictures. Mr. Kipperberg reported the restroom in the bridal suite is reserved for the bride's entourage, but other restrooms are available for guests. DCD believes this condition has been violated as well. So post-2014 CUP contact began in earnest in 2017. When on July 18th, Kipperberg was contacted to get occupancy of the space above the garage by August 31st. On this date, Kipperberg was also advised that ultimately revocation of the approval could be considered if he were not to get compliant with the 2014 approval. The following I'll speak to are contact points with Kipperberg, but they do not include the approximately one half dozen times we met with Kipperberg to review compliance with 2014 approval. And I'll say that during those meeting times, we essentially went through the same issues over and over and talked about dates by which complete applications could be provided to DCD. Mr. Kipperberg applied for a major commercial tenant improvement permit on September 20th of 2017, but the permit was absent any narrative or intent, and DCD determined that the application cannot be supported in any case without modification of the CUP's parental approval. The application was withdrawn November 28, 2017. Also on November 28th and again on December 11th, due to lack of response to November communication, DCD advised Kipperberg to cease all commercial use of the property. DCD met with Kipperberg on January 10th, 2018 to advise we were given 30 days to submit all necessary complete permit application and information to become compliant with the 2014 approval. On January 22nd, DCD reminded Mr. Kipperberg of the deadline to avoid a revocation hearing. On February 15th, DCD advised no extensions would be given, and when on February 22nd no permit applications had been received, DCD advised the CUP was going to revocation hearing in March. On March 5th, 2018, Kipperberg submitted a residential garage permit 18-00573, which was accepted as complete. On March 7th, the first list of events was provided to DCD for the 2018 season. And at this point, I have some exhibits I'd like to introduce to the record.
Okay.
This is the, again, the schedule of events.
So we'll mark this as Exhibit 11.
Yes, please.
Mr. Kipperberg, do you have any objection to the admission of these the schedule of events as calendars?
I do not.
Okay.
Yeah, this is admitted.
Okay. The March revocation hearing was asked to be continued on March 7th, and DCD decided that a continuance was in order versus a cancellation. Because the permit application was of questionable quality and DCD could not discern what was being intended nor what was to become of the two floors above the garage. On March 14th, DCD sent an info request to Kipperberg regarding the garage permit application seeking additional information for the building and fire safety division and the health district. In April, DCD felt that a probable revocation would be too impacting to the weddings that had been scheduled for 2018. And DCD decided to let the applicant have the summer to become compliant with the 2014 CUP approval. On August 25th, Assistant Director Jim Bolger and myself conducted an inspection during an unscheduled wedding where both the garage and the house were being used actively by guests. On September 14, 2018, the garage permit application was given the status expired, not issued, due to lack of response to the March info request, meaning the permit was essentially abandoned. On September 21st of 2018, Kipperberg was emailed that DCD was once again proceeding to revocation. On October 1st, a copy of that email was sent to the tax party of record. And I would like to take a moment and introduce this communication as an exhibit.
This is the email you just referred to?
Yes.
Okay, we'll mark that as Exhibit 12. Mr. Kipperberg, do you have any objection to the admission of this email?
I don't.
Exhibit 12 is admitted.
Thank you. On November 9th, 2018, DC advised in an email to Mr. Kipperberg that a November 29th revocation hearing was advertised, and that a site visit would help illuminate existing issues. The site visit occurred on November 14th, where DCD had access to most of the home and to the garage, except for one of the units above the garage. Dave and I talked to Mr. Kipperberg about the unpermitted and unchanged nature of the space above the garage and the general challenges of a residential conversion to a place of assembly, and advised more than a couple times that an application needed to be forthright and prompt if there is to be any submission for future, any submission of future permit applications or modifications. During the week of November 19th and until yesterday, DCD has had a few contacts at least from Mr. Kipperberg about permit requirements, and I'll let Dave Lynham update you on contact with DCD about building permit application issues. But in summary, DCD believes that the record shows well enough what was approved in 2014, what has been violated or has been in continual violation, a high level of contact times and patience that DCD has had working with the Edgewater House wedding and event venue, and how there has been no sincere, we believe, attempt with applications to remedy concerns. We believe all of the above demonstrate that a revocation to the conditional use permit from 2014 is warranted. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Examiner. David Lynham again, Fire Marshal.
You swear to tell the truth today?
I swear to tell the truth.
Thank you.
David Lynham, Fire Marshal Manager of Building and Fire Safety. I also manage the county's Code Compliance Division. And Code Compliance became increasingly aware of some situations that were going on out at the Edgewater, which prompted our initial action back in 2017. From safety standpoint, I guess that's our primary concern, is that this venue is being used for activities far beyond what it was originally approved for. There is a detached garage for which no final inspection was ever made, and it had changed substantially from its original submission, which was a three-car garage with storage above. Today it has bathrooms finished downstairs that are open to guests, and it has two living units still in place upstairs. That dramatically affects the design criteria. And back in even in 2004, we provided a letter to the applicant that said, we need to see plans, we need to see calculations and engineering design to support the new use of the facility. That has never happened. Granted, there may be a lot of places out there where there are detached garages that go for the life of the structure without ever having had the final. But in this case, we're inviting occupants, we're inviting people who are unfamiliar with the house, with the building, into that structure, and they have a reasonable belief that it's safe for them to be there, and we cannot guarantee them that belief. In this case, the detached garage was meant to be used to store vehicles and storage. It's being used as part of a wedding venue and with living spaces above. It's being used for a purpose it was not designed for and has never had approval. That makes it both a public nuisance and a dangerous building. The county asks that this building cease all operations immediately for anything other than its original use and supports revocation of this permit. The house was originally constructed as a single family residence. When the original conditional use permit was developed, we had discussions with the applicant about incidental uses of the house. Some of the things that we talked about were, what if people show up and need a place to put presents? That was probably okay. We talked about, what if the caterer needed a place to put some food? That was okay, but it was very clear that the house was not to be used as part of the wedding venues. For example, in the staff report, I included a picture of a large deck that has a glass screen around the top. Mr. Kipperberg told me that that's a frequent place where people like to go and have pictures. I didn't go out on the deck, but I looked out there, and if I were having a wedding there, that's where I would want my pictures to be. But we need to guarantee the safety of anybody using that deck in any other portion of the home. We don't know that that deck is capable of supporting the additional live loads placed on it by a wedding entourage. It was built for a deck for a single-family residence. The guardrails around that deck, the picture shows that they are glass, and they're spaced out with probably 4x4s about every 8 feet. I didn't test it, and I didn't go up there, but I do not believe that that deck meets the minimum lateral force requirements for somebody to go up and lean on it, particularly a wedding entourage. Mr. Kipperberg described to me that his mother's master bedroom was now being offered as a bridal suite, and it could be rented for the day with a couple of extra hours, and that was used for bridesmaids to get ready. The house was never intended for that type of use, and it was not constructed in accordance with the rules for that type of use. We also have a room where groomsmen meet before the wedding. They get ready, and although I haven't been there during a venue, what's been described to me is exactly that the outdoor venue falls into the house. We support revocation of the conditional use permit. If this single-family residence is to have any other use than a single-family residence, it needs to be approved, it needs to be permitted so that it can do that. Using it for other than the single-family use creates a public nuisance, and this structure also is a dangerous building to be used in the manner in which we've seen it for these venues. As far as using it for a venue, from building and fire safety standpoint, we have to assure a reasonable degree of safety for the people that are going there. They don't know the place. They're not familiar with it. Many of them, this will be the first time that they've been there. We're inviting these people into these buildings, and they have an expectation that it's safe for them to be there. The last thing that I want to point out is that the conditional use permit required the use of portable toilets. I don't know how many have been provided in the past. I've talked with Mr. Kipperberg, and I would like to say that he's been very open to communication with us about this. And when we've asked to come on the property, he's always accommodated us. He explained that the guests didn't like using the portable toilets. And from my point of view, if I was a guest, I probably would rather use a toilet that's built in the house. So if that's what Mr. Kipperberg wants to do, he has to meet the minimum health requirements as well to assure that he has enough drain field to operate the commercial use. I know that an application has been made, but it has not been approved yet, and I don't know the parameters of that design. However, using the buildings on this site for the commercial use is different than what it was originally designed for. That also creates a public nuisance and a dangerous building. So that leaves us with no other choice but to revoke this and recommend revocation of the permit. I don't want to say that it's forever revoked or that he could never make it happen, but it should not continue to happen under the current conditions. Thank you.
Thank you. Does DCD have anything else at this time? Mr. Kipperberg, did you wish to provide a response?
Yes, I do.
If you could state your name for the record.
Josiah Kipperberg.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes.
Thank you.
So is this a time to discuss all of the things that they've presented, or are we going to kind of discuss them one at a time?
However you wish to proceed is fine. Okay. So however you would like to address the contentions that were made both just now as well as in the staff report.
Okay. First off, I want to thank David Lyman and Scott Diener. The last few months, they've been extremely clear in what they want and what they think we can do to come into compliance. As David said, what do you want the business to look like when it's all grown up? So we've kind of put together a plan, and we'll go forward and try to make that happen. And I've got documentation of both the garage permit applications already in place. The septic system is waiting on approval of what's going to happen with this. My designer's already gone out and done his field test and is just waiting to see what staff wants to do with that. Also, my engineer is also waiting to see what they want for both the garage and the house on after this verdict. But I'll jump back to kind of the beginning of when this all started. The first CUP that we applied for did not go through, and we again applied a second time. And I was working with Dennis Oates, one of the head planners at the time, and he created an opportunity for us to stay in business with the CUP. And there was some of the decisions from the existing hearing examiner wanted us to do within 3 months. Majority of those things I felt as though that we did do, and some of them were not necessary due to the scope of the business. Fast forward a few years, in July 2017, a bride and groom asked if they could do a firework display, and we said they had to contact the fire marshal to get okay with that and pull any permits that were needed. And that's what kind of started this whole process. Is we thought we were in compliance, and we asked our client to go to the fire marshal, and they did. And as they did that, code enforcement looked into some of these issues that are now present today. First off, working with Dennis Oates, he's since deceased, so everything that he said that we could do was in that scope, we believe is in the hearing examiner, and even in the hearing examiner's decision, and even things after that I discussed with him that just weren't working for both of us. And I have written documentation, voicemails from him stating things that were okay. But the first one that I'd like to address is the house. And with the house, it was clear from the beginning that bride and grooms and the wedding party get dressed in that location. They do rent the venue for 8 hours, and that is the building inside. That is only some of the building on the main floor. And the main sections are a bride room to get dressed along with her bridesmaids, and also a groom's room. But inside the building, they leave decorations inside for the ceremony and the reception. What that looks like is they bring everything inside, all the decorations, all the preparation, and the ceremony is set up, and they use all those decorations set up for the ceremony. After that, the chairs are moved and tables are brought out to be set up in the exact same location that the ceremony was in. So the reception tables are brought in place. And then more family members or whatnot use the decorations, go back in the house and bring any decorations to decorate the tables or use whatever it may be to make their event go as planned. So they are using inside of the house throughout the evening. It is a wedding venue in the summertime, predominantly between June and September, so majority of all activities are outside. We did advertise indoor use up to 100 people, and that is with following the guidelines of the national, I believe it is called, what the fire marshals use for their national codes, which states 100 people. And we advertise that on our website. Since this has been brought up, Dave Lyman has said that we cannot do that, so we stopped the advertising altogether. However, due to the codes for the inside use, we feel as though that we're not using it as event space, but merely a transition between dressing, ceremony, reception, and end of the event. And here are the fire codes here from Kitsap County and also the National Code Council, stating if it's under 49 people, we do not need an assembly permit, and we fall in under group A, number 2, which states that if the gross floor area of the building exceeds 5,000 square feet or the fire area of the occupant load is more than 100, we would need sprinkler systems, fire alarms. As stated in the staff report that Jim and Scott both saw about 24 people inside, which is normal throughout the event due to setup, getting dressed, getting ready for the ceremony, getting ready for the reception, and that's quite common. As for the upstairs, we were told that we could not use that due to engineering and some of the concerns that David Lyman already said, so we rope that area off. We rope it off every event due to it's not permitted. Now, granted, you will have somebody go up there just due to the rebel in every group. However,
so you're still talking about the main house?
Yes. However, we do monitor that, so if there is some type of catering service there, those people will ask them to come down. As for the deck, we did use that for photo ops for the bouquet toss. But again, like Dave Lyman said, that it's not permitted. So now we no longer use that space. As for the inside, we feel as though that we're following those guidelines, staying under the 49 people for the National Code of Council. However, if it is an issue going forward, I've already set a time with Dave Lyman to address a new permit to turn the property into a commercial use, and which I've already put in place for the engineer to deal with both inside the main floor and upstairs on the second floor of the main house. I've already put in place my septic designer, and he's just waiting, like I've already stated. As for the bathrooms inside, we were told the wedding party could use those prior to the event, which we did do, and those are locked for majority of the rest of guests. They can't go in there. We usually close the doors. But it's usually the wedding party that goes in and out. They're constantly changing some outfits, so they'll go in there and use those. As far as the timeline that Scott Diener just read to you, as far as the first initial permit, the major majority permit, I was advised from Kim Dunn that's the permit we needed. I applied for that, and the reason why that was not all the information was in there. As soon as I did it, we went back to the hearing examiner. I went to...
Well, this is the conditional use permit that from 2014 referring to?
Yes, the major majority permit, the commercial permit, I thought that's the one that we needed to apply for, which I did, but then I went to my architect and my engineer, and I took them the CUP, and all of them said, are you sure you need the specific one for your business model? And I went back to staff, and they said we didn't, so we applied for it. In good faith, I wanted to move forward to make sure that I was getting the right one. So from those meetings in between the end of 2017 and the beginning of 2018, I met multiple times with staff to discuss some resolutions to some of their problems. There were quite a few of them that were already in place that I already did. There was 12 of them in total, and it came down to 4 that they wanted to have me fix. and I agreed to look into them, and I agreed to deal with those. In that time frame, after the CUP was originally done, there was multiple things that they wanted us to do, add a additional turnout on the driveway. They wanted us to deal with the ADUs, the building, the living space above the garage, which at the time we called them ADUs. In that time, we did rent those out to the bride and groom prior to the event that they could stay the night of. And I was told by Michael Drew, the health department, one of the health department reps said that due to the septic system, that was not going to work. But as for that, the building, staff said that they sent me a letter back in 2004. I was 15 at the time, and that was not directed to me. So I never saw those concerns. I never dealt with that. Didn't have the chance to deal with those. That was to my father, that is no longer in the equation. So he did submit some calculations, some sketch drawings that you can see in staff, but I had really nothing to do with those. But as we can see in the CUP back in 2014, it states that we need to get all permits prior to use of those. I felt as though that it was not necessary to get those up to code for the wedding venue use, just because it was not feasible cost-effectively to do it, and for the business model to have people come in the night before just wasn't working. So I went to title, and it's on title stating that those are not being used for the venue, not being used for overnight use. One is empty, as you saw, and the other one is my office that I've been upfront about from in recent years as being used as an office. Nowhere I could find in any code saying that I couldn't use that space. It does say that it was designed for storage. However, there was two bathrooms designed for that specific building, and I converted it into my office. And as far as decommissioning those, I didn't know that I had to decommission those in any way than other than putting on to title that I wouldn't be using them for business use. And as for decommissioning those, as you saw in the one, the stove was removed, and the main thing on that is it is a backup plan in the future for my mom for a source of revenue. So to tear everything out would be not cost effective long term. So to leave it as is, and then if needed, get those permitted for additional ADU or whatever it may be in the future, seemed necessary at the time. As for the bathrooms, I did get my septic installer and designer. He's ready to go. I've got documents here if you'd like to see that. He's just waiting. As far as some of the other issues that staff wanted us to do, there's four of them. This was our meeting after in January. One was provide the bookings for events for the 2018 season, and then also work with Kim Dunn on the list of events and a proper calendar that would work both for staff and the Edgewater House. And then the other one was deal with the garage, and then the fourth one was parking, and they wanted us to get an SDAP permit. And the SDAP permit was discussed in the original CUP that states if we did any new construction or added any impervious surface to that specific area or to the rest of the grounds that we would need a SDAP. And then staff gave me some timelines to do those things, which was first initially given 45 days, and we agreed on that. And a few days later, that 45 days dropped to 25 days to get that in place. And I can understand there's confusion with so many people being involved to try to get a certain timeline. And I continually asked for more time due to the economy and the pressure that was put in or on engineers at the time and currently, that their schedules are at least 3 months out to even look at a project. I went and persuaded a few to move me to the top of their list to deal with the SDAP, and at that time, I spent money on a civil engineer and a geotech to evaluate the site to get ready for the SDAP. Both of them looked at the original CUP and the hearing examiner's decision, and both of them came back to me with an on-site visit and evaluation. And their conclusion was we didn't need one following the hearing examiner's decision because there's no new construction, no new.
Yeah, and I don't think the SDAP is at issue in this proceeding.
No, but it is value information on
the background story.
Putting it all together. And the reason why that is I was told many different things. We needed this, we needed that, and I thought we were moving in that direction, but I put so much effort on this SDAP that it was a lot of money and time to put it forward. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is I sent the information with a letter from Fred Kegel, the civil engineer, and also the geotech, stating we didn't need it due to the hearing examiner's decision. I sent it in the day before a deadline on March 8th, and staff said that they were going to hold off on getting rid of the CUP, but they would look into the Department of Ecology to see if that was necessary, which was great. Scott Diener did a great job figuring out what the Department of Ecology wanted, and we came to a good common ground on that. The reason why I bring that up is going back to the garage, I was given some of the same information. You need this or you need that. Kim Dunn was kind of the point on the garage, and I was told that I could give a sketch drawing of the building, which I did, and it shows the bathroom garages below. The space, the garages in the parking area, and that was back in the beginning of the year. So that was submitted, and at that time, I also contacted my septic designer, and he was working on that project. I have a letter, his testimony of why that was not in place. From the beginning, he had a partnership, and he started the project, and he passed it on to his partner that deals with more of this issue. That relationship has since dissolved, and I tried countless times to see where that was at, but his partner was dealing with all the paperwork, submitting that to the health department, and failed. But I was moving in that direction. As you can see, I'm ready to submit the new septic system. So that was number four on the list, but you can kind of see where both the apartments above the garage, the living space above the garage, and the SDAP, I'm given a lot of information with no set in stone of what we're looking for. I was told by Rick Stenstrom that I would not need to bring the building up to energy codes. I've got a written statement from him saying that, but then days later I was told that I did. Contacting Kim Dunn to try to figure out what was going on. In that time, the county started a new online permit process, which many builders and developers have had many issues with. I also have had other permits put in place and not knowing some of the issues, both on staff's website and just some of the glitches. This permit was dropped. I went back a few times to restart that permit, but due to how the system was set up, wasn't able to do that. There were a few other permits, single-family building permits, that I applied for, that were also dropped as well, that I had to go back and restart those and reopen those, and they took, both of them almost took 5 months to get. As far as the calendar issue has been kind of a tough one to really satisfy the hearing examiner's decision. That calendar, we started a online calendar, but it gave our clients misinformation. It showed blotched out dates that couldn't be used because we were staying underneath the 25 events that staff or the hearing examiner said that we could do, and it started getting frustrating for some of our clients. Then also, when we had a cancellation or we had a new date available, it was very confusing to some of those people. So contacted Dennis Oates, the lead planner on this specific project, and he didn't see an issue with just getting rid of the calendar altogether. And he said, just let me know if you go over the 25 events. I've written documentation that we did not go over those events, those number of events, and that was from the engineer with submitting with the SDAP. Got all the documentation. The main thing with the calendar is after our meeting with staff in the beginning of the year 2018, Kim Dunn was the point person on that specific issue and trying to find a resolution of when that, what the calendar would look like going forward. I contacted her a few times. Give me 1 second. So as far as the calendar, I did submit a calendar to staff. They said that there's 25 events in there. If you look at that exact calendar, there's 22. There were some cancellations in there that were stated on that calendar. But as for the calendar, it's just never really worked. But working with Kim Dunn on this specific project, I started with emailing Kim February 9th about the calendar and seeing what would work for both of us. Scott Diener was the main person on this, just saying find something that will work for both of us, just because he understood the kind of the bizarre aspect of county having a calendar and monitoring that calendar. And last week he said, we're not in business to monitoring businesses, so let's figure out something with the calendar, just get rid of it. But as far as trying to get the calendar in place, I emailed Kim Dunn February 9th to discuss it. Didn't hear a response. Then I emailed Kim a follow-up email February 22nd about trying to find a resolution or some type of option. Didn't get a response. I called again the end of February and just went in and just dropped the calendar off. Then again on March 21st, called Kim and emailed Kim about the calendar. Didn't get a response. Called Kim again on March 26th about the calendar. Left a message again. Didn't get a response on that. And then also called Kim about the calendar April 9th. Didn't get a response on that. So with the calendar, I figured that it was one of those things where if it's an issue that's holding up the CUP, we would address it. If not, as Scott said, let's just do away with the calendar. It's just not effective. So to bring this back around, there's four main things that they wanted us to do. Those four were provide proof of the events and the parking, and the above garage. But as going forward, I've already addressed the apartments and how we're going to get, if we need to get those engineered, I'm ready to go for that. Also, if we need to have assembly permit for inside the venue, I'm open to that. My engineer and designer are just waiting to see what your decision is on this topic. We do stay under the 49 people inside, but we're open to it. So I feel as though that I can address all of these things moving forward. So I'm asking for our business perspective of not to revocate the permit process, but open the door to either if I need to get a commercial permit for the inside, I will. As far as the other issues, I think we can address those. But I'm asking from our business perspective, because if we are told again to stop any business, it hurts my mom's income, as we've been told many times in the past to stop business activities just due to miscommunication between staff and our business. So if we can continue doing what we're doing and get prepared for the upcoming season, I would be greatly appreciative on that. And I'd be fine with working with you on a timeline, or if you give us a timeline that we need to have the commercial permit in place. If we need one, I'm open to that. As far as the garage, if you give us a timeline of when I need to have that in place, I'm open to that too. But I think there was just a miscommunication between what we're doing and how we're doing it. But I'm definitely open to moving forward. I think that's all for now.
On the permits, Marilyn Kipperberg, is that's your mother?
That is my mom, yes.
Okay, and then there's a third person, Ronald Jake. He's not involved anymore. That was on the CUP permit.
He is, and we park on his property, so that is recorded to title. Okay. He owns the property that we park on.
Thank you, Mr. Kipperberg. Why don't we take a very short recess, and then we'll reconvene. And if you all want to, unless you all do not have any rebuttal.
We do. We were hoping actually for a 10 or 15 minute recess. 15.
Oh, right, there are parking. So tell you what, why don't we take a 15 minute recess,
okay,
and then that will allow you to move the car and you all can discuss your responses. So, thank you. We'll reconvene in 15 minutes.